Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience.
Welcome, friends, to a special bonus episode of the GC Podcast. I am Joe Brannon, digital content developer on the GCI Media team. And if you are a regular listener, you will tell that things are different already. On today's episode, we have something new. It's actually a bonus episode, and it's not being released at our normal first of the month. It's actually around Christmas time is actually when we're going to be releasing this. And the reason why this is a bonus episode and why this is so different is because there's been some changes in my life. And the media director, Michelle Fleming, she said, you know, I really think that you need to do a bonus episode to where somebody interviews you. So with these changes in my life, I am having to pass on the baton of GC Podcast to somebody else. And I'll tell you this guy... There's really, at least in the circles that I run, there's really no better person to pass this baton on, for real. He is a pastor. He's a regional director. I consider him one of my best friends. Our relationship has grown tremendously in the last year or so, a year and a half, I guess, since being out here in the Carolinas. And I've got the one, the only, the amazing,
Stop.
Most emphatic.
Okay, go on.
Anthony Mullins in the hizzy, in the house.
In the house. Joe Brannon, it's so good to be here. And I love what you said about our friendship.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, all the other things are true. I have a certain role in ministry, and it's fabulous. I love being a minister of the gospel. But I really love being your friends,
yeah,
and knowing you as a brother and your family, and to think that I get to come and clean up the mess that is you. No, I'm just kidding. I get to have fun and build on what you've already established here with GC Podcast is exciting. So we're going to have a lot of fun on this final episode of yours, Joe Brannon.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop. Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe that me doing that intro before we started recording this, I was like, man, this is the last one of me doing this intro like this.
So. Yeah, and so people are really going to be listening to your words. So make every word count, Joe. Really feel the pressure of today.
The weight. I know, being on the other side
That's
of this whole
right.
thing, it's going to be really weird. So
I get to be the
yeah.
interviewer and not the interviewee.
Yeah.
I get to ask the questions. And really, in conversation, whoever's asking the questions kind of controls the conversation.
Yeah.
So do I have freedom to ask whatever I want, Joe Brannon?
Anthony Mullins, you have got complete and utter control of how this interview goes.
Wow, the power.
But remember, I'm the one that edits this one still.
That's a good word. So I think I'll be nice. Thanks, Joe, for that reminder.
No, absolute freedom. And when I was putting together this intro and outro, this episode, there's not even an intro and outro to this.
Mm-hmm.
When I was putting this together, I don't even have any questions. I didn't put anything guiding. Matter of fact, I put, this is where we will just roll with the discussion. You can ask questions here. I'll let you come up with the questions. And I got some closing remarks, and that's all there is.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, it's good. I mean, we like to prepare, right? Because
yeah.
we know the Holy Spirit is at work in our preparation. And yet we can trust, even in this moment, we can be present to what the Spirit is doing and saying and drawing out of one another. And I'm really excited about the next few minutes and the way it's going to unfold, just
yeah.
asking questions about who you are, why you feel so drawn to Christ's ministry, what's happening in your life, the next season and beyond. I mean, there's a lot of exciting things going on, Joe Brannon. And
yeah.
I want to kind of peel back the onion, as it were, on some of those things. So I'm just glad you've given me the opportunity to be here and to ask some questions. So tell me, you know, as you think about GC Podcast, let's just start there for a moment. Why has this particular ministry mattered to you?
This really came about probably about 3 years ago, been here about a year and a half. So it started about a year or two prior to landing out here at the home office. And when I was involved in as the youth pastor in Dallas, there were a lot of things, as many of you know that are in ministry, you want to be as trained as possible. You want to learn as much as you can on doing the certain role. And there was I found a lot of gaps when I stepped into this role of being a youth pastor. I was looking for resources to help me with being a youth pastor and how to do things, even with things like boundaries, talking about boundaries. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I had that episode with Mark Mounts, because he talks about boundaries. So boundaries with young people, I thought, man, there's really not any resources. I mean, you can go outside GCI, which is great. It's great to do that. But I wasn't seeing very particular, practical things to fit what I needed, like how to preach, you know, what are some of the processes? And I was consuming a lot of podcasting at the time, mm-hmm. and I still do. But I thought a podcast is brilliant because you can sit there and you can interview somebody that does it really, really well, mm-hmm. and you can get little nuggets of how they're doing something and see and contextualize it for yourself and for the ministry that you're involved in. And then try to incorporate that. And so that's where it all kind of spawned from. And then being out here in the home office, we have so many great people that are coming through here for various trainings and meetings and that kind of thing, that I was able to snag them and have a couple of interviews with them because they are doing some particular things very, very, very well.
Hmm. You know, you're talking about resources and human resources, and what I'm hearing is God's providing in your life.
Yeah.
God's provision is something that's really important to you. I've heard you talk about it a lot. How you've seen God show up in your life. Can you unpack that for us? Just some of the ways that you've seen God at work, not only in GC Podcast and what you do at the home office, but in your family and in your active participation in ministry. Tell us about God's provision for you.
Well, and I think I also like to—I like how you say it, Anthony. He doesn't just show up, but he shows off. Because that is something that I have noticed is when you start talking about the various things, like the cliff notes and looking at the highlights of what God has done, you can see his hand in the middle of it. You can't help me like, he's just showing off now, you know?
He has that way, doesn't he?
He does. He really does. I have seen God's provision in, of course, a multitude of areas. Just some personal talk here with our oldest daughter, you know, with her health issues that she had when she was born. Just to give a quick background, because it could be a 20-minute or 20-hour long movie, but she was born with a congenital heart defect and had to have open heart surgery. That didn't go well, so she had to have a transplant at 4 months old. She had cancer for a season, and there was just a lot of things that our family went through. And we developed friends in those circles that had kids that were sick. And what we saw within those families is so much brokenness. Some families got a divorce because of the strain on the marriage. But what it did for me and my wife Megan is it drew us closer, because the only thing that we could really hold on to was God and his faithfulness in our life, no matter what was to occur, whether our daughter made it or didn't make it. And we didn't know sometimes moment to moment of whether we would get that phone call. And so to see his hand in the middle of it, by the way, she's doing fantastic. She's a 14-year-old teenager through and through, emotions and everything, but she has a zest for life, definitely. And so we praise God for that. But even just through, that's kind of where some of this journey of a lot of change in our life started to occur, was through that, because then we ended up having to move to Dallas for her healthcare, Dallas, Texas. And from when we were there, she ended up being, she got the healthiest that she has ever been when we moved to Dallas. And she was, I think she was about, she would have been about six. Yeah, she would have been about 6 years old at the time. And moving down there, we got involved in a GCI church down there. And that's when I really felt the call in my life of pastoral ministry. Mm-hmm. I was always involved in Oklahoma City. And so when we moved to Dallas, it was an easy transition. God opened up doors for Megan to step into a ministry, a worship leading role that was really needed. I was able to step into a youth pastoring role that was really needed, just really in our sweet spots. Mm. I mean, people were ready to step out. There were people that were leaving, and God was bringing us as a family down in there to fill in those gaps. Mm. And so to see his hand in the middle of that and just see throughout that whole process of doing ministry there, it was pretty remarkable during that season.
Yeah. You went through hell. Can I say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
With your elder daughter's health. And we've got a listening audience. And I have no doubt that someone listening to this is also going through some tremendous life challenges right now. Doesn't look exactly like yours, but they're in the dark night of their soul to some degree. So what would you say to them, just based on your experience, God's redemptive activity in it, what would you say?
I would say, that's a great question, first of all. I would say, though it doesn't make sense in the middle of going through the darkness and through the hell, because through the period of the first 4 to 5 months of our daughter's life, it literally is like a dark space in my mind. There's just so much darkness that was that surrounds that and is ingrained through it. And it was hard. It was literally moment by moment of just making it mentally, emotionally, a lot of times physically, because you don't know. And it's the first thing that I really want to say is it's okay to ask God why. And it's okay to get angry at God. He's a big God. Mm-hmm. And he is love. And even though we don't understand it and we can't make sense of it, it's okay to sit there and be like, God, I don't know why it is that I'm going through that I'm going through. I don't know why it is that you're having a child that just entered this world go through what they're going through. That doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. It's okay to do that, because God's like, I know it doesn't make sense to you, but just trust me. Just trust me. And that's all we could do, is just one step at a time, sticking with God's faithfulness. It wasn't our faithfulness. It wasn't our faith. It was his faithfulness that we are clinging on to, and not a faithfulness of he's going to heal her, but a, let me say this, it was a faithfulness of healing, because what we truly believed is God's going to heal her regardless. Mm. Whether it's a physical healing and she lives and we get to have this time on earth with her, or he's going to take that pain away and she's going to be dancing and having and doing gymnastics and all the things that make up her, who she is with the Lord. So we truly believed, yeah, absolutely, he's going to heal her. It may not be in the way that we want it, but that's okay. Do we trust him in all aspects? And truly, all I can say is cry often, yeah, and cling on to who God is.
Yeah. That's, I'm moved by your vulnerability and willingness to talk about your daughter's health. Like, Jenny is in our church, and even though it's temporary, you know, having the Brandon family in our church in Hickory, It is such a blessing to see, well, you called it the zest of her life. Yeah. We're so glad that she's here. I prayed for her for years before I ever met her. Yeah. And to meet her at one of our regional celebrations in GCI, just, it was a gift to my soul. So we're just so thankful for God's provision. So, you know, we're talking about this time in Dallas. You moved to Dallas to care for your daughter's health, but you're also stepping in very full and meaningful ways into ministry in the GCI church there. How did you balance all of that? And just kind of unpack that for us, because there was a lot on your plate for time and just distraction. So and all of us are dealing with that. There's people listening right now that are they're trying to find balance and they can't. So just talk about your experience. What God was doing in the midst of it, what you learned, and how that carries you through now.
Yeah, the whole word balance, I'm still trying to understand to this day.
Once you find it out, let me know, all right?
Okay, we'll do. I think we'll be billionaires.
That's right.
There was a lot going on. That particular church there was going through a big transition period too. The pastor that was there was going through some health issues, him and his wife, and so they were retiring really soon after we landed down there. And so the associate pastor, who had been the associate pastor for like 6 or 7 years, something like that, was stepping into that senior pastor role as the previous pastor is retiring. And so this really provided an opportunity for the church to really start self-analyzing and self-reflecting of, well, what are we doing as a church? You know, are we doing the thing that we're called to do and be as the church? And it ended up going through some really major shifts and changes in a very positive way, becoming more outwardly focused of reaching the community. I believe it was one of the first churches that we did what was called then the Outside the Walls initiative of helping our churches to get outside the walls and not just be all inclusive and exclusive within ourselves, but also taking the gospel message of what it really is, and that's going out into the world. And so as all these shifts and changes were occurring, there was a lot of opportunity to hit the reset button on everything. Gabriel Ogie, he did a great job at creating that space of, hey, it's time to hit the reset button on things. We need to start looking at all the different aspects. We need to start making some changes. And there became this excitement. Matter of fact, I would have people visit, you know, after several months of these changes when he became senior pastor. I stepped into an associate pastor role, and he sat there, or I would have guests come, my family and just other people, and they would tell me afterwards, they're like, there's like this electricity in the air when we're here. Yeah. There was some excitement that was going on, and it was just building. Well, I enjoy being a part of movements. I enjoy helping in so many different ways, and my ideas are unlimited. I have plenty of ideas. And as I started stepping to these roles, I would start volunteering, saying, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. And what I found is as I was doing that, there was some struggles of people coming and participating in these things that I would do, and that we would be a part of. And it was starting to get pretty frustrating. There was a lot of great things going on. But it was starting to get frustrating that I'm putting in all this time, effort, and energy, and I'm not feeling the reciprocation from the other members. And to make a long story short, I was listening to a podcast. I found myself in a particular state emotionally that was very unusual for me. And when I was listening to a podcast with another pastor, he was talking about his season of burnout, and he started listing out all the things that he was going through in his burnout. And as he was going through, I was like, okay, yeah, I have that. Yeah, I have that. Yeah, I struggle with that. I struggle with that. And at the end of it, I checked off every single one of those things. And then that's when I feel like the Lord was just saying, you're burned out. And it really hit me like a ton of bricks. It kind of made me sit back in my chair and just think, how did I get here? Because I was not the happy and joyful and full of life, and I didn't want to be around people. I was going through like really bad depression. Even I would find myself at the time, the last year and a half, 2 years, I was a stay-at-home dad and doing ministry as well full time. And so I would find myself getting the kids off to school, and then I would go back to bed most days, and I would sleep another 3-4 hours, and then I would get up and I wouldn't hardly do anything all day long. People would text me and I wouldn't text them back until I felt good. Sometimes that would be days. There was some young men that I was mentoring. They would try to try to meet up like we would always normally do. And it was a struggle for me to be joyful on doing it. Not because of them, but because of the internal struggle that was going on within me. And, it got so bad that, Megan sat me down and she was like, we need to move back home. It's time for us to go back, to Oklahoma. And Jenny's health was doing great. Our daughter's health was doing great. We felt like God was opening doors, because even the hospital was saying, hey, if you ever want to move back home, we don't have a problem with that. And you can still come down to Dallas for checkups because she's doing so good. So it's like God was opening up these doors for us to move back home. We called our pastor up there and he said, let's just keep praying about it and see what doors God opens up. 3 days later, I don't even think it was 3 days later, I get a text message from now GCI president, Greg Williams, and he's like, hey, you know, we're moving the home office out to Charlotte. You know about this. And there's some people that aren't able to make the move, one being the person that does all of our video, the Speaking of Life. And so we need that. We think you'd be a good fit for it. Thing is, you'll have to move. You and your family have to move to Charlotte, North Carolina. Just out of the blue.
Just an everyday message.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Yeah, I get offers like that all the time.
That's right. Massive life change.
Yeah. I mean, I never thought of living outside of Oklahoma City. I'm born and raised there. I thought, you know, I'm just going to stay here and do my thing in Oklahoma City, retire, or I don't even know what that means, but, you know, and die there, let alone move outside of the Midwest completely and move halfway across the country. And so through a lot of prayer, a lot of, seeking God's face and asking other people, getting wisdom and counsel, we decided to say yes. And so it was about over a year later, we ended up moving out here to Charlotte, North Carolina. And that's when I got the job that I have now.
You know, if I can circle back, Joe, to burnout. Because I'm glad you said it, honesty about that. And my guess is, once again, there are people facing that very same thing. And I found in my own life that isolation can only feed the fire of burnout. So we always want GC Podcasts to be as practical as possible. If you could give 2 or 3 practical steps that people can take, tangible, practical steps, if they are facing burnout, anxiety, you talked about even depression, not that that resolves everything, but what would be the top 2 or 3 things that you would want to say? If somebody came to you and said, listen, I'm really facing burnout, what would that conversation sound like?
That's a really, really good question. I think one of the first things, and I don't know if it's the first thing, but you need to confide in somebody. You need to talk with somebody that you can trust, that you can be open and candid with, whether it's a great leader in your church, but probably outside of your church, most likely, and get it out. That's the first thing. Hopefully you recognize that you're burned out, first of all. That's the first step, is you got to first recognize that you're burned out. You know, depression, you don't have joy anymore, you don't want to interact with people anymore. I mean, being a pastor or a ministry leader, that's our job. Like, we are people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because it's about people. It's about relationships. So if you find yourself really wanting to not engage with people at all, and you can't get out of the church fast enough on Sundays, and you find yourself being a completely different person during the week than you are on a Sunday, and you find yourself in a state of depression or darkness, those are pretty good signs that you're probably facing burnout. And then if you have a spouse, like, talk with them and get their take on it, because your spouse most likely will be the first one to notice. Mm. They'll be the first one to notice before you notice.
Marriage is a mirror, isn't it?
It really is.
It shows you who you are.
Yeah. It really is. So as you recognize first that you may be going down that road, or maybe you're already deep in the middle of burnout, talk with somebody. Mm-hmm. and be able to open up. And what you might have to do is ask them to reach out, because when you're going through burnout, you're not going to want to reach out. Mm-hmm. You want to stay away from people. And then I would say, seriously consider talking to your supervisor about taking a sabbatical and getting away from the ministry for a season. And that season could be different. And I'm not talking for a week or two. I would say at least 6 months, possibly. I don't know. It's going to be different for every context. But I'll tell you this. When we made the move, first of all, when we decided that we weren't going to Oklahoma, but we were going to make this move, I could tell a difference in my demeanor, because there was an end. I knew something was changing. And so I could tell a difference with that. And by the time I got out here, I thought that I was quote unquote healed from burnout. Well, it wasn't until like 6 months into working out here still that some other things came up from the depths that I realized this is still stemming from my burnout. And so I was able to confront that and really pray about that and talk about it. I was able to talk with numerous people, you know, Michelle Fleming, through a lot of the development that she does with the media team and through some of the other resources that GCI now provides, which are great, great resources, has helped me get to know myself better to where I can actually heal through that. Because what came out of going through those processes is I was able to recognize how I got to the burnout stage. And what's crazy, it's so simple. And it's the thing that we all know as pastors and ministry leaders. I was trying to do it on my own. When I was in Dallas, I was trying to do everything on my own. I had to have my hands on everything. And if it wasn't just right, I would get frustrated and it just built up, because I just kept trying to do it myself because I wanted to fix it. And when I recognized that about myself, that was a huge freedom for me. And that's the best that I think that's the thing, the conversation that I would have with a pastor or a ministry worker leader.
Yeah. Again, we're so appreciative of the fact that you're willing to open up your life that way and talk about it, because sometimes as pastors, well, I'll own it for myself, I don't want to put all my stuff out there, and you want to always paint the picture, you know, that things are fine. But it's powerful in the Church of Jesus Christ to acknowledge that, guess what? I'm a human being having a human experience, and sometimes that looks really broken.
Yes.
And it's okay. And that's why we belong to each other. That's the beauty of the body of Jesus Christ. We belong to each other. And so, you know, as we talk about the body, I mean, I think about the way you've just discussed the last 2 to 3 years and longer than that of your life, but you've gone through a lot of transition. I mean, Oklahoma City to Dallas, Texas,
yeah.
Your daughter's health, the burnout that you experienced, the relaunch of that church in Dallas, and then you came out to Charlotte, and there's so much you could talk about that we don't have time for about your home office experience, but you're not even staying here long. So, I mean, it just, you remember the Roadrunner, the cartoon?
Meow,
meow,
meow. Oh,
you
yeah.
know, he was
yeah.
always, and here you go again. So why don't you talk about, as we transition here, speaking of transition, about the next phase of ministry for you, because you've got a great situation here in Charlotte. What in the world has made you decide to do something else? Could you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It is mind-boggling. And if you're not careful, you can get whiplash from the quickness yes. of how it's all shifted. Because we've only been out here a year and a half. And actually, we've only been out here for about, I think we barely hit 1 year of being out here in the ground when some of the GCI leaders came to me and Megan, and they told us, listen, we think that you belong out in the field. We see your heart of ministry and pastoral ministry, and we really think that you need to move back home and be a part of what God is doing out in Surry Hills. And it was a absolute shock when you have these four people that you absolutely love to death sitting across from you, two of them being like father figures in our life, one being like an uncle, and then one of our best friends, you know, is sitting across saying, hey, we want you here, but we think God is saying you need to go there to Surry Hills.
By the way, that wasn't their way of getting rid of you, was it?
Well, no, the reason why I know it wasn't to get rid of me is because they would lose Megan also.
That's right.
So they wouldn't just...
Okay, all right. So this
was
genuine.
They wouldn't throw Megan like that. but they just... Greg told me that he was seeing an angst in me of this longing of being in ministry in the field. What we do here on the GC podcast, speaking of life, the media, that's ministry. It's just a different, it's doing it differently. I was starting to miss being out there in the dirt, you know, working with my co-laborers, you know, out there. And we would do some of that here. And there was just this constant pull that we kept feeling back in Oklahoma. My family's there. Her family is in Dallas. So all of our family is there. So we saw that this may not be our final destination here in the Carolinas. But what does that mean? What does that look like? Timing-wise, we didn't know. And so we just kind of let it go. And then when they came to us, and they said, we really think that you should be the senior pastor in Surry Hills. It blew me and Megan away. I mean, we almost fell out of our seats.
And so this is going home, Surry Hills, Oklahoma,
yeah.
right? Isn't it sort of a bedroom community of Oklahoma City right there?
Yep.
Right? I mean, you're the hometown kid
yeah.
going home. Talk about God's provision.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's almost this full circle thing that God is doing, and when we got back from Christmas this past December in 2018, we went home, and when we came back, my wife went through not a depression, but she was just feeling down because she really missed all the family stuff and being around the family. And she didn't realize how much she missed it until she goes back and being involved with the family. And so she just kept talking about, she's like, I really miss home. And I didn't realize how much I miss home. And I said, well, honey, let's just pray about it. Let's just pray about it and see what God does. And I started to kind of see some doors that were potentially opening to where I could possibly do this job in Oklahoma. And I thought, well, that would be like the dream is that I can still do my job in Oklahoma and get involved in ministry, not necessarily be the senior pastor, but get involved in what God is doing in our hometown. And boy, God has a sense of humor, because as we just were praying about it, I told my wife, I was like, you know, if this is going to be from God, I will know it's from God if my boss and our best friend, Michelle, and Greg Williams, the president, who I work very closely with, our offices are literally side by side. He's the one that invited me out here to be a part of this team. If they both come to me and say, hey, we really think that you guys should be out in Oklahoma. And no joke, both Greg and Michelle come to me like 4 months later, that quote unquote out of the blue, and they said, we really think that you should move back to Oklahoma.
You know, and there's something that we want to acknowledge there. You and I hadn't talked about this before, but how reassuring is it to be a part of a denomination that they would support the longing that you have within you to actually encourage you to serve in pastoral ministry when they know they're going to suffer loss here in the home office by not having your particular competency and skill set here in the office. I think it speaks a lot to who we are as a fellowship. And I take a lot of, hopefully, godly pride in that they will support the person, not only the job that they're doing.
100%, Anthony. You know, I've been talking about this a lot. I actually learned this from Michelle. But the open-handedness, you know, sometimes we can cling on to something and white-knuckle it when God's sitting there saying, I got so many other blessings to give you, but you're holding on to something where I can't give it to you when I'm sitting here trying to give it to you. So we got to let things go. We got to be open-handed about things so God can pour in, but then he can also take to bless somebody else with that thing. Mm-hmm. And I look at the posture of the two people that I have grown to love tremendously, not just as coworkers, but as friends with Michelle and Greg, and their open-handedness with this. You know, they know that, hey, Joe's not ours. Joe is God's. And so we need to follow what the Holy Spirit is doing in Joe's life and see what God does, even though there's going to be that void. Who's going to be that next one that steps in into that spot? So, yeah, I think it speaks loudly to our organization and the culture that is really starting to flourish in GCI. Mm.
Yeah, thank you for that. And so you, in front of you is the lead pastor role of GC Surrey Hills. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot going on with that church. So I'd like for you to talk to what about this new opportunity in 2020 and beyond has you excited? But I'm also going to ask you to be vulnerable again. What concerns do you have stepping into this role? This will be the first time you've been a lead pastor. So what's exciting you, and what might have you a wee bit nervous as you head into the role?
What has me excited is new.
Yeah.
Because this church, we're replanting this church. Right now, it's out in a rural community. And we knew, because I was out there when that got moved out there. So I still lived in Oklahoma City when the church moved from a very urban area out there. And it was for financial reasons on why we had to make this kind of move. And so, you know, they're in this rural area about 3 miles away from this community, this neighborhood called Surrey Hills, which is in Yukon, Oklahoma. And the soil that has just really been enriched in Surrey Hills just really has paved the way for a beautiful seed to be planted into that neighborhood and serve that neighborhood and love that neighborhood. And so we are actually taking something that's been around for a long time, and we are in the process of planting something brand new. So once again, kind of like what we went through in Dallas, except on a much different scale, it's the time to kind of hit the reset button on everything. So we are putting everything up on the table, and we're going to be sifting through it all and be like, is this what God is calling us to do and be in this neighborhood, this ministry right here? What are the kingdoms that we developed that we may have to let crumble? You know, what are the sacred cows, you know, that need to be put on the altar and given as an offering? And not that we're going into just, we're going to go and kill a bunch of, you know, ministries and stuff, but it's more of, God, where is it that you're calling us? So the newness of this whole thing is absolutely amazing. I love new opportunities. I'm going back, like you said, I'm the hometown kid. I'm going back to work with my friends. Everybody that I'm going back that is on the pastoral team, on our core launch team, and beyond, they're all my friends. They all saw me grow up. You know, I was Joey, you know, for years and years and years. And now that I'm coming back, and every time we would always go back and visit, that everybody, they'd be like, we miss you so much. You know, when are you coming back home? And it's like, we're coming back home. Now we're coming back home. And so that's probably some of the bigger things that we're excited about is the newness, but the relationships that we're able to go back and be a part of. With that being said, some of the things that do kind of have me nervous is the newness and the relationships.
Wait, what? That was already your answer. You can't go back to that well again.
Because of being so new, it's not like we have some kind of template. I mean, this is something that's brand new in GCI that we're doing here because it's very new. And even though it has its excitement, because there isn't like a model to go after, you're just, as you have said it multiple times before, as we've talked and you said in other podcasts, we're just, a lot of it's going to be figuring it out as we go along and being prayerfully dependent, because we have to be that, because we don't know. And the beauty of it is that, you know, we're just joining the Lord and what he's doing in this community. What does that look like, Lord? Show us what that looks like. And with the relationships, yeah, I grew up with these people. Some of these people have literally known me for the 36 years that I've been alive. Mm-hmm. You know, they saw me. Well, no, that's not true, because I came into the church when I was about 6 or 7, I believe. But 30 years, you know. And so they saw me grow up, and they saw me step into leadership. They saw me step into all these things. But we've been gone for about 7 years, almost 8 years. And we have changed quite a bit, thank God, for the better. We have changed. I'm not the same Joey, you know, but they've also changed. And when there's change, sometimes it's too easy. Let me back up. Sometimes it's too easy when you go back home to fall back into that rut, that groove that was kind of carved out over the years. And I'm just nervous about some of those dynamics. Not that it's going to be from them or from me, but just how it naturally is. But the beauty of it is that they love us and our family just tremendously, and we love every single one of them tremendously. And Jesus is going before us, he's with us, and he's right behind us.
Wow. What a good word. We are cheering you on in prayer, brother.
Thank
you. So excited for you. And we're thankful that it's Christ's ministry. Amen.
Amen.
That he truly is going to be your source of joy, of strength, of encouragement. And we all want to say to you, you are called to this, and I pray that you'll remember that calling as you do this. So I wanted to end our time together with one last question.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I actually will have some things after this, but one last serious question. So I've been in the community with you. You love meeting people, as you've talked about. You love newness. And so if you are encountering someone who doesn't know that their identity is in the Lord, that that they don't know they bear his image, that they are loved by him. What is it that you truly want to communicate to someone who may even think God is opposed to them? So you're meeting somebody new. What do you want to leave them with about who God is?
I would want that person, and if it was just like a one encounter type thing, a one and done, I mean, that's not really my stance anyways. My stance would be, how can I walk alongside this person, you know, and develop this relationship so I can speak truth of who they really are into their lives. That's where I find such great joy, is being able to sit down at a Starbucks and just converse, and they kind of, when I start to see that openness, when they allow me to peek inside the brokenness of who they are, to where I have the opportunity of being able to plant that Jesus seed in there and saying, who you really are, you know, you are a beloved child of God, and God loves you tremendously. Like that's where I find such great joy, is being able to do that. But if it was a one and done type thing, I would hope that they walked away with the brief interaction that we had of at least giving a second and third thought to what was just said. One of the things that I love to do when I was working full time in Dallas, there was a artist. I worked at a t-shirt printing company, and I got to know this artist, and a lot of the people there struggled with this artist because he was really, really, really good at his job, and he wanted things very particular. And so I ended up being the manager, so I had to interact with him a lot. Well, I looked at him as a person first, instead of somebody that needs to accomplish a task. So I got to know him. I got to ask questions about him and just find out who he is. And I didn't go at him saying I'm a Christian or anything like that. Even when he would like bring stuff up that were like religious, you know, or he would bash the church, I wouldn't even step into that, because that's not where I want to step into. And over time, we would start to be able to have these other conversations. And at one time, I'll never forget this. One time he's sitting there talking about how he views God, but then it switched really quick, and he started talking about how Christians view God. And he starts rattling this off, essentially painting God as this judgmental God and using scripture as the hammer and correcting and just all those kinds of things, just not from the basis of love. And I turned to him, I looked right into his eyes, and I said, that's funny, because that's not the God that I believe in either. And you should have seen the look in his eyes. Because most of the time, we won't believe in that same God that a lot of these people are saying, well, I don't believe in this kind of God. It's like, hey, yeah, me too. I don't either. So let's talk about the God that we do believe in. And then that's where it gets really fun.
Mm.
Then the conversation opens up to a whole nother level.
Yeah. Yeah, I really appreciate what you said. It's not a one and done. It's always relational.
Yeah.
And that takes time, a lot of love, a lot of just being together. But I love that story, because so often the God that people think that they know, I wouldn't want to know that God either.
Right.
I wouldn't want to worship that God either.
Right.
Thank God that he reveals himself in the person of Jesus.
Yeah.
And man, the more I get to know Jesus, the more I like that guy.
I know,
he's
right?
He's pretty awesome,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
So as we wrap up our time together, I'd like to... What I want to do is just ask you a few questions, and I want you just to give me a short answer, the first thing that comes to your mind. Are you okay with this?
Okay.
All right. Favorite color?
Blue.
Least favorite color?
I don't have one.
Okay.
Brown.
Brown.
Yeah.
What can Brown do for you? Okay. Favorite word?
Probably. I say it all the time. That's probably my least favorite word.
Well, that was my next question. I thought that might be the case.
I like bruh.
Bruh.
Yeah.
Okay. Not that this is our view of eschatology, but if you die and you go to the pearly gates and you meet God, what do you want him to say to you?
Oh. Nothing. I just want to see the look in his eyes.
Mm, that's good. Hair product, what do you use?
you jerk.
You have the best hair. It's incredible.
Marketing got me. Okay? Marketing got me. Axe.
That's yeah. Okay.
But I just attract flies. I don't want to attract any ladies. There's only one lady I want to attract.
That's right. One place you want to visit you've never been to.
Oh. So the next place that me and my wife really want to go is Germany.
Mm,
yeah,
Germany.
We really want to go there. But my eye is on Iceland.
Ooh,
yeah.
Iceland, yes. Yeah. If you weren't a minister of the gospel, you had another full-time job, what would it be?
What would it be, or what would I want it to be?
What would you want it to be?
Probably a YouTuber.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watch a couple of YouTubers that I'm just like, that seems like that would be me. Like, that's the kind of person I would be, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you deal with all the social media stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love the marketing aspect of things, like the creativity and the marketing and thinking ahead and that kind of thing. So I really do enjoy that aspect. So it might be something in marketing.
One final question. If your name wasn't Joe, what would you want it to be?
I'm trying to remember what I used to call myself back in the day.
You had your own personal name for yourself?
I did.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Because, you know, when you would like play characters with your friends and stuff,
oh, sure.
you always had this alter ego.
Yeah.
if I wasn't Joe, this is not what I would necessarily want it to be, but it's what everybody called me.
What's that?
Josh.
Josh.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I had a best friend, Josh, growing up in the church.
Okay.
And they would always call me Josh. They never called him Joe or Joey. I was always Josh. I was always second.
Well, speaking of that, now that you're no longer going to be doing the GC podcast, we want to say to you, well done.
You
launched this ministry, of course, with the media team, Michelle Fleming and Charlotte Rakestraw, but you've done a fabulous job. You provided another very helpful resource. It's not just filling space and airwaves. It's providing practical ministry tools to our pastors and ministry leaders. So I want to say to you, well done, and we're going to miss you, and we can't wait to see what God does with what he started in and with you, but we're going to try to carry the baton well and run our race and really have some exceptional podcasts coming up. So you better listen. We may mention your name from time to time, but we promise not to use your name in vain most of the time. And like I said, we're cheering you on in prayer. So brother, well done. Thank you. And we can't wait to see what's ahead for you.
Thank you so much, Anthony. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And so I don't know how we end this thing. I mean, this is the first time I've done this. So this has been the GC podcast. What's up? It's really fun and it's good stuff.
Actually, I got some closing remarks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Cool. Come on.
Yeah. So I do want to give some thank yous for people that have helped me through this whole process, whether it be the GC podcast or just in the role in general.
Anthony Mullins? Oh, sorry.
No, I didn't have him on here. but I do want to thank Michelle Fleming, being the media director, great boss, but she's been a great friend.
Michelle.
She was the co-host, of course, on here. We did the intros and outros together. She would help with all the show notes, so she would listen to the podcast, type up the show notes, so she helped me tremendously in that. I want to thank the Proof team, Robert, Pam, and Gordon. You know who you are. I appreciate you guys listening to these podcasts and giving the feedback and the input. It's what really helped craft and refine what this has become. Brett, our IT wizard, the way that he set it up to where you guys can get it in the Apple Store and the Google Play and all those other places. He's the one that helped set all that up. You guys, as the listeners, I appreciate you guys listening to this and utilizing it because that's why we do it. It's for our pastors. It's for our ministry leaders and our ministry workers. I want to thank everybody in the home office that have been such a huge support on this. My coworker and friend, Charlotte Rakestraw, I appreciate you, girl. I have enjoyed all of our conversations about things. I still think that you're one of the best designers that I've ever seen. Of course, let's see. I already said everybody in the home office, but I'm just going to name everybody because you guys, I want you to know that I see you. Matt, Evelyn, Cheryl, Susan, Connie, Georgia, Lance, David, Glenn, and I especially, I want to thank Anthony and Elizabeth and everybody else that I may have missed. But Anthony, I appreciate how much you've poured into my life, how much you've supported me. You've brought great challenge. You've called me up. I can tell that we've developed a friendship that is definitely going to go on forever. And so I really appreciate you. But I also want to thank my beautiful wife, Megan, and our three kids because, you know, I've got some crazy ideas and we've moved halfway across the country now twice, following what I feel we should be doing as a family, what I want to pursue. So I want to thank my lovely bride, Megan, and then our three kiddos, Genesis, Grayson, and Lily. Love you guys to death. Really appreciate you guys. And then all the friendships that will be forever that we've gained out here. And I especially thank our amazing, loving, triune God and his provision through all of this. So that's it. That's all we have for this. And on the next episodes, I mean, I'm going to be hanging out with you in the intro and outro, but Anthony, you're the lead on it. So I'll be in the intro and outro kind of helping fill in, but you're the man.
God help us.
I got one last thing.
Yes.
Anthony?
Yes.
Don't screw this up.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic or if there's someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.